This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I'm here to put the ass in Christmas.
I'm Brandy Posey, and I already own three things on the Goop Holiday Guide, and I live in a trailer park. Up your game, Gwyneth.
I'm Tess Barker, and never in my life will I get used to the price of pine nuts. Taking out a mortgage on some pesto over here.
Oh, my God. And this is lady to lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
I have to say, I've been watching The Sopranos just started, and they've already had two stand-up comedians in like the first...
Oh my God.
Season, and Tess, I believe that was probably close to one of their deliveries.
Maybe I intuited that from your viewing. No, but we were talking about, Babs and I were talking about the food on Sopranos. Just good food.
Yeah.
I've never watched it.
You haven't, Brandy?
I mean, no. They just eat really good Italian food
the whole time.
And it looks great.
I love Italian food.
Yeah.
It's good.
Restaurants with red checkered tablecloths.
Manja. Man. Real quick, I just want to plug, I'm doing a show at Dynasty Typewriter on December 17th. If you're here in LA, Altercation Comedy Presents. It's a bunch of headliners. It's going to be me, Eddie Pepitone, Todd Glass, Brian Posehn, Dana Gould, James Adomian, Henry Phillips, and me. Come to that. It's going to be good as fuck. I'm very, very excited for it. If you're in LA, can't think of anything better you could do that night.
Yeah, it's really... fun venue in LA if you haven't been
fuck
yet.
Yeah.
Too. I don't have any shows to plug, but I will plug my podcast, Babstinence, where I experiment with taking a year off drinking. I'm past 100 days somehow.
Woo-hoo!
And it's been going well, and I've been just cataloging my experience over there and stuff like that. So if you're interested in it, go just find Babstinence on any of your podcast apps.
Hell yeah.
Apps.
What's everyone's favorite app? What's your go-to app?
Oh my God. You know, like I always crave mozzarella sticks, but honestly, that doesn't feel like an appetizer. Like that's straight up just food.
You get it as your main?
I guess I do. It just, somebody like had a really funny tweet about it. Where it was just like, oh, I could never just eat six things of string cheese. But if you bread them and fry them, I will eat them before my dinner.
Yeah. Ooh, I love mozz sticks. I haven't had them in forever.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I mean, just a straight up charcuterie board. But also, that's pretty much dinner.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I agree with both of those.
Mm-hmm. I like a Southwest egg roll. I like, you know what I really like? P.F. Chang's, their lettuce wraps. Their lettuce wraps.
Oh, those are the bomb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good choice too. Light, but substantial.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think I gotta go chips and salsa. I love chips and salsa.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your salsa of choice?
Like the hottest thing they possibly can give me.
Okay.
Yeah. I like.
Is there a restaurant salsa that you pictured when you
Well, my favorite like sit down Mexican restaurant is El Compadre. Their salsa, I mean, usually when you go out to eat, I feel like the table salsa is not that spicy. Like they're usually going to give you like a medium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's still good restaurant salsa. And I think the salsa at El Compadre's is.
It's legit.
I can't believe we haven't done some kind of a hot one version of hot ones for ourselves.
I know. I think it would just be fun.
It's time.
I think we would just have fun.
Brandy's not on.
I don't know. What does that mean? I don't know.
Just like eating a hot pepper while we have a podcast.
And chaos ensues.
Wait, did either of you guys ever do spicy news in Portland?
No, I've never done anything involving like.
I think Sean did spicy news.
That's how me and Joanne.
You've done it, and I know it's awful.
That's how me and Joanne Schinderly met. Was we did spicy news together and had to eat a habanero and then just panicked at each other for 20 minutes of shooting and then each ate an entire tub of ice cream, but like we're like deep throating iced cream, like gargling chocolate ice cream, trying to fix my throat.
Chocolate? That's a terrible.
I just needed to fix my throat. It was, and then I had a show that night on a festival, and man, the green room bathroom was like not where I should have been.
No. Yeah, we gotta go to our separate.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We need like ambulances lined up.
Yeah,
it's cheap.
So I don't know why it's similar to the pie. Yeah, it's very similar. A bad idea, but
it's a bad idea, but it's funny. That's why.
Yeah, it would be very funny.
It would be funny. It would be funny.
See, I don't want to do the thing where you just eat one habanero. Right. Like, we have to do the, like, starting.
Like, build
small.
Up to it.
Yeah, I like that, because if we could do, like, a flight, then it becomes, like, an endurance situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
And, I mean, I know I will, again, as with pies, I have no trust in myself for getting it.
I mean, but this is a totally different skill set.
I'm down to try.
A totally different skill set.
Yeah, completely.
And I know that I'll fail.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it would. I think Tess would win this one. I do think you would have it on me, but
in Salt Lake City, ourselves, the palate that we're coming to.
Yeah,
this
Maryland's
with.
Not a very spicy town. Old Bay is kind of the top tier where you're at.
Yeah, I do.
I've
feel
grown
confident.
My palate, but
I do feel confident that I would win that one.
Yeah, I think you probably would too. But I mean, I'm worth it. I'm down.
But
for
I think
it.
It'd be fun
for
it's
very mind over matter. Mm-hmm. So I definitely see Brandy giving me a run for the money.
I am
I'm not gonna succeed.
I am competitive and I wanna put on a good show. If we're gonna do it, I'm gonna put on a good show.
Yeah.
but I'm glad that footage doesn't exist anywhere. Somebody bought Spicy News and then they just took it all down. And it wasn't me, but
how long did
money.
It take to recover?
It was like probably about 2 hours before I felt normal. And then honestly, my taste buds felt different for quite a while afterwards. Like my, I just tasted spice differently for quite a while because of it. But it like was not.
Did you cry?
Also, I was like tears streaming down my face. It was just like, I was sweating from every orifice and my eyes were just watering and just like, I couldn't, it was just like a heat in my whole throat that I couldn't, you couldn't clear it. It was just a lot.
No, I've had a couple of those where I've done like eaten peppers on a dare or whatever. And it was like, you don't, in other kinds of pain, you can at least like sit down.
Yeah.
But this, like, it hurt. Right. All you can do you can just like pace around and just hate your life. Like,
Well, and we were in chairs. So I was just like punching myself in the leg, trying to feel anything else in my body than my throat being on fire.
We should do a thing where we're in a room surrounded by like, you lose points if you go for like the ice block.
Oh,
surround ourselves with that kind of stuff to just see.
Says the one who's not gonna do it. Okay.
I'm gonna go to those things immediately, so I know that.
I like it. It's like an escape room element, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. We're like the opposite of an escape room. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. No, I'd be down for that. I'd be down for that next year. Listeners, if you guys have like a thing that we should do it for, you know, let us know what you think like a goal should be or something.
Oh, that's a fun. Yeah, that's a fun idea.
Yeah. That would be good.
Okay, let's get
serious,
episode,
you guys.
We got a real
serious business.
Spicy episode coming your way right now.
Hey. So excited to have this guest on. As we were saying, it's been like a long time coming, I feel. She's super funny. You can catch her podcast called Celebrity Book Club, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please enjoy our conversation with Chelsea Devantes. Let's just get into it, shall we?
Say
hello to our guest, Chelsea Devantes. Hello.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here, you guys. Feels like it's been a long time coming, but also, what is time?
Yes.
It could have been a week. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
completely agree on all counts there, Chelsea. I mean, wow. And you are fresh off of, I mean, can we just say it, like the wedding of the century? Like, wow.
Thank you. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you. Wow. Especially in a year where, I just forgot his name. Brooklyn Beckham got married. For mm-hmm. me to have the wedding of the century means a lot.
You know what is funny? I only knew of Brooklyn Beckham's existence like the last week.
Really?
Oh, okay.
What news item hit
not
you?
Not with someone on my radar, because I think people were talking about nepotism babies or whatever.
I'm learning in real time who he is. What is Brooklyn Beckham?
I mean, Victoria Beckham and David Beckham's son.
Okay. Cool.
If you remember their wedding photos, I don't know if you do, but you could, because they had a second outfit change where they all wore the color purple that Barney is made of. Okay. And, and little Brooklyn Beckham had his own little purple suit with a purple fedora. It did look like something I have seen Steve Harvey in. And as a baby at a wedding, I loved it. So he's been famous to me from his fashion.
I hope he recreated that look for his own wedding. Did that happen?
That would have been, it didn't happen, but like, what a missed opportunity.
Am I making this up, or did Jaden Smith dress up as Barney at someone's wedding at some point? Does anyone else remember that?
That sounds like an alternate universe thing that you...
Yeah. I feel like I have a vague internet memory of Jaden Smith attending a wedding just as Barney.
It sounds like a fever dream, which means with him, it's probably real. So
Yeah. That sounds like something.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I was just watching all the Instagrams of your wedding. You guys did so much funny shit. I guess I didn't think like, oh, you could do a lot of funny shit at a wedding, and you really pulled it off. You hired doubles to take photos with your guests. That was the first thing I saw, because I saw Marcella post a photo and I was like, that's not them. And I was like, what's going on? And I was like, oh my God, they fucking hired like stand-ins. That's the funniest shit I've ever heard.
You know, as comedians, we were like, it's this weird line of like, are we going to do bits at our wedding, or are we going to be real humans and have a lovely wedding? I have to say, I really believe we rode the line and we pulled it off flawlessly. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I think we did like beautiful wedding, but also some really fucked up shit. So thank you for saying that. We actually, when we like, we gave a little speech to our guests at the reception to like, thank everyone for coming and thank our moms. And then we were like, hey, we'll be in the back room. We really want to take a picture with every single one of you. And so like, we're going to be in this like back room, like, please come find us and take a selfie with us. So when they came back there, they would find a vague Chelsea and a tangential Yasser in wedding clothes to take photos with.
That's so
that
funny.
I mean, so genius.
It was, I mean, like, and then you had the billboard with your moms on it.
Which is still up. I saw it the other day. I was like,
isn't that insane? And I kept telling people, I was like, there's going to be a billboard. I don't think anyone believed me. Someone was like, I was thinking it was just going to be like, you know, the largest FedEx printing size
like
of a poster.
Yeah.
And I will say I think a lot of amazing, weird things happened because we booked our venue in pandemic, but for 2 years away, because I had to like move to New York for a job. And so we like toured this venue and they had like a low billboard that was like in their lot. And I think they were so desperate for people to book the venue because it was the middle of COVID that I was like, what's this like low weird billboard like in the reception space? Like, we can change that out for you. Well, you will put anything you want.
Oh,
and we were like, and we were like, oh, that's hilarious. And we like came up with this like idea to like put our moms on it with this little joke. And so then, you know, 2 years later, we're at the wedding. I'm like, so how do we go about dressing this billboard? And the whole staff had turned over at that point and they were like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I have emails from 2 years ago for a insanely low price point. We have been promised a billboard. And they were like, yep, okay, we shall do that. And they were lovely about it. They put up this billboard. And then I just got an email from them being like, at some point we will take this vinyl down. Do you guys want it? And I was like, actually, Gasser's mom has already requested it. So that would be great.
What could she possibly do with that? It's so big.
That's the wall of a house. I love
it. Yes, that's exactly what she said, Brandy. She was like, put it up against the wall of your house, not her house. Ours.
Your house.
Your house. I mean, she and my mom, we were just like, oh, we'll take pictures of you and like on Canva, make a little joke Photoshop. And they were like, we're getting a photo shoot done. Like, they've become like LA Hollywood moms, even though my mom's still in New Mexico. Like they were just, so they were like, where's our photo shoot? And Kim Newmoney like did a photo shoot of the moms. Interestingly, they both chose to wear white. But yeah, I'm also like, it was this sweet thing where I was like, now we have like all these like really beautiful pictures of our moms hanging out. And like, yeah, so it ended up being like really sweet.
And I love that both the moms were on the same page. Like both of them were like, yeah, where's our photo shoot?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think anything that really exalted them, they could really get behind it.
I love that. Had they got to hang out too much before that or like?
Yeah, we actually we put them in charge of planning the rehearsal dinner because our wedding was so non-conventional. So like we didn't have any florals at our wedding, and that was a devastating concept to them. also, I need to say this too. Like we're not a conventional, like, normal family. And when it came to my wedding, my mom was like, where's the family table? There's always a family table. And I was like, at whose wedding has there ever... What are you talking about? Like, there's a lot of, like, but we all... This always happens at a wedding. And I was like... Get real.
Like, Mom, your face is on a billboard right now. Like, that's all I'm going to say.
Like, this is what we're offering here. We're offering a billboard. We're not offering centerpieces. I'm sorry.
I loved it. It was funny. I was like, I never thought I could just be like, be a fan of an event, but I was.
Yeah. Yeah. We all stand your wedding. We all stand your wedding.
Yeah. And I think it just was really great, too, because it's just fun to see what people are doing with them now and like breaking out of that mold and being like, if I would rather spend my money on a Taco Bell room than a floral arrangement or whatever.
Thank you for sending up our Taco Bell room. I will say like weddings, like in the canon of weddings, I've always been like, ugh, ew, disgusting. Like get off my feed. And like, Vogue weddings or New York Times weddings, like those wedding announcements were only amazing when it was two psychos talking. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like two insane people talking about their love story. Like that's the only time I had enjoyed wedding content. So then when it came time to like plan our own, it's like a very interesting genre to be a part of. And you're right. There's like people now doing actually beautiful things with weddings. So it was an exciting time to like not do the standard fare, you know?
Not do the standard fare, but I also like that, like, you guys just went big.
Yeah. We went insane. We knew the dress code when we were dating. We were like, when we get married, the dress code is try and outdo us. Aww. And so that kind of, like, set the tone of the whole wedding. And people, I mean, you just mentioned Marcella. She had three costume changes at our wedding. And I was like, that is how it's done. Like, yes.
Incredible.
Yeah. Oh my God. Her and Lydia Popovich changed three times. And I was like, this is everything.
Yes. Fuck yeah.
And then there were other people there were like four people who clearly didn't think we were serious. And they had to live through such shame the whole night in their like slightly fuchsia skirt. They were like, we
messed
whoops.
Up. Yeah. Yeah.
That is funny. Yeah. Like showing up to a costume party, you're like, no one's going to dress up. And then you're just like, oh, fuck. Like everyone understood the assignment.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everybody has a fear of either being overdressed or being underdressed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? LA is fucking classic for I'm sorry, we swear on this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah. LA is the time in my life when I've experienced this most. And like, actually, there's like a Housewives clip of, there's a Housewives clip where they're like, never trust an LA dress code. Never trust casual. Never trust casual. I was like, that is the most true thing I've heard in my life. When I first got here, they'd be like, it's casual. And I'd show up looking like fucking dog shit.
Right.
As like people are in literal gowns. And I was like, how is this possible? And then like, there's times where it's like, show up looking nice. And you show up and everyone's like, we're in jeans that cost $900. Like, what are you doing here? And like, it's very, it's a real mind fuck.
Yeah. It's very like dress up with your handbag, but wear like a thrift store t-shirt. Like that's kind of our, like you need to look like you tried, but not like you're looking like you tried.
Yeah, you have to look like you tried, but you like actually don't care in
Are
your
you
core.
A billionaire at the airport is kind of the vibe you're going for at all times.
Okay, if you do not throw a party with the dress code billionaire at an airport, it's a real missed opportunity.
Okay, consider it done. Consider it done.
Because we do have access to a fake jet set.
Yeah, we do.
Do you really?
Yeah, we took pictures on a fake jet.
Y'all better throw this party immediately. I'll be there with my little rolling bag.
Actually, okay, speaking of airport fun things, do you guys know about the TWA hotel in New York?
Yeah, like someone had their wedding there. Yeah, it's like Mad Men Airport Lounge.
Yeah.
I saw it on Say Yes to the Dress. We didn't all see this episode.
Excuse me.
Are we still on?
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Because wow, its I'm influence shocked. Is rocking the world of bridal to this day. Like,
oh, of course.
I don't know. When I tried on my wedding dress, like every store I would go into, they would have a little whiteboard like, are you ready to say yes to the dress?
Yeah.
Are you going to say yes? And it's like nobody, I don't think that many people watch that show.
I think a lot do, but mm-hmm. I do think it's harmful for society.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's a net good.
Yeah.
But no, there's an airport, I think it's at JFK, where they took an old TWA terminal. And they turned it into like an old Mad Men style, cool. like 60s hotel. So you can like spend the night and chill in this old, like renovated airport terminal. And I'm dying to do it.
That's cool.
I love that. That does. You guys, you're like event tastemakers. Look at this. What do we
are.
Like, actually, can TWA? I be real?
Yeah.
We kind of are. We at my wedding, my sister, like towards the end of the night, started passing around shrooms to everyone. So like towards
yes,
the end of
we
my
love
wedding,
this.
Love it. It was like the most wonderful, epic night. That started this trend of like a lot of our friends offering like shroom microdoses at weddings.
Amazing.
And then our friend Erin Lampart's wedding in Mexico, our friend Lisa got quoted for The Cut about a story about how shrooms at weddings are like the new hot thing. And they like referenced our other friend at this wedding as like a hot Silver Lake mom, our friend Wendy. And it
and
all
like actually, I'm the original shroom wedding.
Yes,
I did not see this article. Oh my god!
Yes,
that's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
I love that. Did you, wait, Tess? Did you cry when you said yes to your dress? Were you like, "That's so beautiful"?
You know what? I didn't cry when I said yes, but I did. Like, it was only the second dress I tried on. Like, a lot of my friends weren't even there yet, and I did start crying when I put it on.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I came nowhere near tears. I vomited in a few.
It's like a super invasive process, right? Like you can't wear a bra or anything. And like there's all these women kind of like standing around you with binder clips, like clipping fabric and moving skin. Right.
It's intense. Also, if you are a curvy woman as I am, like it's just some woman behind you just trying to pull up a fabric over your ass as you, like, jump around. And she's like, it's not going to happen. And you're like, I know. It's that over and over and over again.
God, I'm having prom dress PTSD listening to that.
Seriously.
When you grew up time of spaghetti straps, it was a hard life.
Spaghetti straps and double D's.
Yeah, they're still out exactly. there. And I'm like mm-hmm. no. I was doing Stitch Fix for a while, which like I like. I got some cute stuff. But I had to be like, I have big tits. Do not send me something with a thin strap. It's not
oh, yeah.
going it doesn't to work.
I want to make a clothing line that is just like all the hottest styles, but modified so that you can always wear a bra.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like there's just so many cute things, and they're like, and then there's a little hole right where your bra clips, and you're yep. like, no,
yes.
just cover up the hole.
Oh my god!
And you're like, that would kill the shirt. Like I can't. That kills the whole party.
No, it's like my like dusty colored fucking giant like five clip mm-hmm. bra is not gonna look good in the peeboo part of this dress. I was thinking, I had this idea a while ago to do a comedian's Met Gala with the theme Run the Light. So like,
oh, that's great. You guys have three events on your hands. What the hell is happening?
We do.
You guys have to do that so I can come.
Yeah. We just threw a 10-year anniversary party, so we need like a minute.
We need a break. But that could be maybe for the next one. We should do a big dress code. That would be really fun.
That'd be awesome. Also, Comedy Met Gala, Run the Light. I mean, it's just
I would love to see what people did with that. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
See a male comic that just wears like a hoodie on 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 a hoodie.
That could be hot.
There's a way to make it work.
Good. Yes. I love the Met Gala. I think we all do because like. I love an event that is only red carpet.
Mm. Yeah, like there's
no
show
inside.
I think they eat, right?
Yeah, or they look at food. I don't know.
That's such a fantastic insight. I also I love the people who eat shit at the Met Gala red carpet.
Oh yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like the one place where you can do anything, and this was your choice. Really makes me giggle.
It shows you who they really are.
Yes, it really does. It's like at your core, can you rise to the moment? And most people are like,
No.
Like stars. No. They're actually just like Janine in accounting is what's going on.
Well, and it's like you have a team of creative people. If you're boring,
yeah,
you don't even have the good sense to turn to a team.
Just let someone else take it on. You know who always crushes a Met Gala, which I'm shocked to say this, is Sarah Jessica Parker. Mm. Like, her hair alone, like, she's serving, I said this for the wedding, but, like, I really wanted dragon fucker hair. Like, does it look like I'm on a TV show where I fuck dragons? Like, yes, that's my wedding hair. And she always be serving dragon fucker hair. It's braids through twists and buns, and it's like, she goes hard.
She, now, why are you surprised?
Because her personality doesn't read as someone who would take wild risks to me. Like, in interviews with her or her clothing line, I believe at Kohl's, Old Navy, unsure. Like, those don't match with, like, the person who's doing, like, a faux hawk made out of a braid, you know?
Yeah. I guess in my head I have kind of conflated her with Carrie. I think because she has, like, a book club on Instagram.
I think she kind of just took the
And one time my sister was in New York and she was smoking a cigarette at work, and SJP got out of a cab holding an umbrella and it was raining and she was smoking a cigarette, and she just looked at my sister and went, "Hello."
Okay. I love that.
That is incredible. Chelsea, I want to talk about, so you've got an amazing podcast, Celebrity Book Club. I know it's usually women's books, but you just read Matthew Perry's.
Yeah,
oh my God.
What you thought.
Tell us
we
everything.
We made a men's moir exception. You know, I normally read ladybooks because they're just generally the ones I'm interested in, generally the stories I think that are missing. And also, dudes' books, this is a stereotype, but that's mostly true, that they're usually bad. Like, it's usually Matthew McConaughey being like, I wrote a poem in size 14 font about, about my bongos about and sandals. My dad.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not like the complicated layered juice I want. But wow, did Matthew Perry's book deliver. It's a juicy, juicy book, but he came across as the most unlikable human in the world. And I asked some TV friends who've worked with him before. I was like, is he just rotten to be around? And they were like, he's actually extremely charismatic and likable. And I was like, imagine that. Imagine in person. Your shtick is like so lovely, and when you write from the heart, you're a monster. You know what I mean?
That's like so interesting. He just like couldn't.
Yeah, because I think that's what all of our perception of him was like. Right? He's Chandler. Like, what did he have to gain from writing this book? I guess people bought it.
Oh, I think here's the thing. It's like, I think you cannot escape your book. I always say on the podcast, like, you can't escape your book. Your personality will come through, even if a ghostwriter wrote it from, like, one voice memo. Like, you are always trapped in your book because there's just too many words. There's too many pages. And he really, to me, seemed to write that book because at the end of the book, he's like, I've been writing screenplays and like no one will attach to my screenplay. And you're like, what? And he's like, I sent my screenplay to an A-list actor and he hasn't responded to me. Isn't that horrible? And it's Zac Efron. He doesn't name him, but it is Zac Efron. And then he's like, why don't I have enough juice to get A-list actors attached to my screenplays? And you're like, oh, did you write the book so you can like kind of become like in the limelight again, like make your screenplays happen? I'm almost positive. And then I also think he thought his story of addiction would be like very, would help people and would also kind of like open up your heart to him. And like he has the worst addiction story I've ever heard in my life. Wow. But he also separately, aside of addiction, is such a fucking asshole. So it's like he's talking about his addiction, but then he's also talking shit about every woman in the book. Then he's like, Woody Allen's a god. Keanu Reeves should be dead.
Keanu Reeves line was like, what is going on?
Really wild.
Oh my God, he's so mad Jennifer Aniston won't fuck him. And like, if it's supposed to be a joke, it doesn't read because like every few chapters he circles back and is like, and Jennifer Aniston still wouldn't fuck me. And you're like, oh my God, dude. Ugh. And then like every woman who's incredible to him in his life, and he'll be like honest, but he'll be like, and then I cheated on her for 2 years as a way to repay her. Then I came out of sobriety. I really turned my life around. I met this amazing comedian who didn't want to date me, but then she started to. And then I dated a model at the exact same time. I dated them both for 2 years. And you're like, Matthew.
Oh my god! You're supposed to, now I've got
to
read it.
You're supposed to make amends to people privately, not put it all in a book. And
yeah. I mean, I will also say, like, people who, because you know, we have like a Facebook group, and like people talk on my Instagram comments. People were like, "This was nauseating to read," but it's still so juicy. Oh my gosh, you guys! He makes 8 Batman references in the book. Mm. 8.
Wait, did he have anything to do with Batman? Or he's just a Batman fan?
Someone said this in our Facebook group, and it made me laugh so hard. They were like, oh my god, he thinks he's Batman, but in reality, he's BoJack Horseman. I was like, yes.
Oh, yes. He's so BoJack.
But I think he feels very, like, he had, like, a working... His mom was Pierre Trudeau's press secretary, so he had a, like, working single mom, but also, like, very of the elite world.
Yeah.
And then his dad was in California being Mr. Old Spice. He was an actor. And, like, he had, like, a lot of he's like, I was abandoned as a child. I almost named this book Unaccompanied Minor. And then he'd be like, my dad really wanted me to come live with him. My mom came home every day. Like he lists, like, things about being abandoned. And then I'm like, I'm not sure you know what abandonment means. I'm sure he was, like, lacking love. But he really tries to play it off like he was, like, alone most of his life, when really he was, like, a very well-cared-for rich kid. And I think he thinks he's, like, Batman because they're both, like, orphans and rich.
Oh, my God.
But you know what? I bet Jennifer Aniston would fuck Batman.
Yeah.
I was just hoping that, like, he was somehow in the running for, like, 2 seconds to be Batman once.
Oh,
and then,
my
and
God.
He's never gotten over it.
Yeah, he mentioned it to his agent. His agent said, sure, we'll see what we can do. And that's what happened.
Yeah, and then he just discarded that email for life.
Man, what's the over-under on Matthew Perry going to comedy clubs? This feels like a real,
feels like a direct pipeline.
Yes.
I'm shocked it hasn't been happening, honestly.
I mean, he calls himself one of the funniest men on earth in his book. It was past tense, so he was talking about hitting on Valerie Bertinelli and how it was him and his friend, two of the funniest guys on earth. Of course, she loved it. And, like, I do think he thinks that, like, he's a comedian, which is odd because he's an incredible comedic actor.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't think he sees the difference between comedian.
No, that happens.
Comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That happens.
It does happen.
Yeah.
You'll see, I'll, like, see on someone's Twitter who's clearly, like, an actor, but they'll say, like, comedian in their thing. And I'm like, okay.
Comedic actor, but okay. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, you do have to understand comedy to be a comedic actor, for sure.
Well,
he did deliver a lot of mean fat jokes on Friends, so he can deliver jokes.
Could he be any more problematic?
But he's writing. I actually honestly would kill for that screenplay. Like, please produce it, please give it to us.
Please.
I want to read it,
honestly.
That's what his book should have said. Like, could I be any more abandoned as a child?
No, that's almost verbatim in there.
Wow.
He's like, I'm an unaccompanied minor. Like, here I am alone again. And I know it's, like, it's hard because he really does have a horrifying story. But, like, when he goes through his intense addictions, like, crazy things are happening to him. But, like, his dad's always there. Mm-hmm. He was never alone in the hospital because his mom and his dad are both there. They're divorced. You know, I just have these, like, things in my heart where I'm like, man, I really don't think you're in an unaccompanied minor. Like,
right.
I just...
Like, you went through a lot of shit, but... That was not what you think it was.
Maybe you should practice some gratitude for what you do have, and you might realize that there's quite a bit more...
that a lot like of other people a little bitter about some things.
Yeah, it's funny too, because someone said, like, a big part of, like, staying sober or finding sobriety is gratitude, and that is one thing that is fully missing from the book.
I mean, it's also like, how fucking rich is Matthew Perry? Like, those Friends people.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So much
billionaires, right? Like, forever.
Yeah.
The best part of the book, I want to deliver him an award to his house. Like, the best part of the book is that he lists the price of everything in his whole life. It's fucking incredible. He tells you how much money he made for every, and it's not, this is, like, one of the ways I loved the book. Because, like, rich people always
they don't
pretend not to be rich. And he's like, I made like $1.4 million a week on friends. I spent $20 million on my penthouse. I flew to Switzerland to get drugs on a $200,000 private flight. I flew back from Switzerland on a $200,000 private flight. Then I went back for drugs on a $200,000. You're like, yes.
Yes. That.
But like also like when you're making 1.2 an episode, like, yeah, like if you do percentage of your weekly paycheck, it's like, Yeah.
And you know he's budgeting safely like that, Tess. Like, I goes to fun and entertainment.
I got a show pitch. I got a show pitch. Celebrity QuickBooks. That's the show.
I love that. Yes.
Show me where you're really spending your money.
Wouldn't that be... That would be unreal on Netflix where you just like get to go through the accounting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a voiceover in a spreadsheet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, okay, honestly, I would love it.
We have to take a break. We'll be back in a second, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Chelsea DeVantes. Oh, no. Why did I say my last name? No one did. Okay, hold on.
No, you're right.
And I'm Chelsea.
We're keeping it.
No, nailed
okay,
it.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, if you could keep both takes, that would be awesome.
Yeah, yes. Of course. Okay, we're going to play a game to get to know you better. It's nothing that we came up with, but we are stealing it from James Lipton. It's called Inside the Lady.
Oh, that's a perfect name for what he was trying to do with those questions. Oh
was
my
he
God, his interview
to get down?
With his oh, interview yeah. with Angelina Jolie, like you can almost see the boner like producing pre-cum through his pants.
What year Angelina Jolie is this? Like Girl Interrupted?
This is Girl Interrupted.
I think around that time,
because that was
you know. I don't know my James Lipton canon like but. She's super hot. She's super hot.
She's always like been. I feel like one of those women that even straight women were like, but Angelina Jolie,
like for sure. Yeah, yeah. And then he's just asking her questions like breakfast or dinner. She's like, well.
Okay, but I will say, as someone who was a James Lipton stan, he would also be like that about like, he'd be like, now, Adam Sandler, let's talk about Billy Madison.
Yeah. So we're not trying to get in your pants, but we are going to ask you the questions.
Okay, great.
Inside great. The actor studio. Which I don't have pulled up.
Okay. Chelsea, what is your favorite word?
Oh, do you see me?
Yeah.
My favorite word is probably like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, oh my God, like women talk like I probably say like a lot.
Own it.
So I probably like
I
that
love
word.
It.
I really it's like refreshing it. To hear someone like.
Yeah, right. Everyone's like, oh, I shouldn't say that. But it really helps me describe things, you guys. And I'm what is my true favorite word? I just learned this word from Matthew Perry's book, Adahinia. Which is something that he and Woody Allen have, which is the inability to experience pleasure. It's a very privileged man's. Yeah, I mean that's a real word, and he really did say that in his book. Yeah.
Wait, what is it? One more time. What is it?
It's, and honestly, I'm worried I'm saying it wrong. Adahinia. It's like Adahinia, I believe, on the spelling bee. I'm not sure. Do I get a prize? Google
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you got it.
But,
yeah, you got
okay.
it.
Okay. And it means like the inability to experience joy, the incapability to experience joy, which I think is just like such a privileged man's disease.
Yeah.
Like unbearable to be like so rich and just like, you know, sleep with Mia Farrow's adopted daughter. And be like, but I can't feel anything. So I think that's my new favorite word. I think I'd like to attain that amount of assholeness. You know, like what a goal. What a goal in life for me to be like, oh my God, no matter what, I'm not happy.
Oh my God. That is, well, explains a lot about what the other shit going on in this book. But yeah, what a dick. Oh my God.
I do have one more follow-up question. Have he and Woody Allen talked about their Adahinia together?
I don't get that impression. I also feel like it would have been in the book. He wrote this sentence, Woody Allen gets it. Woody Allen gets me. Why would I memorize this, you guys? I've read so many celebrity memoirs. Like, I don't know why there's space for that in my brain, but that's
2022.
Yeah, wow. I know. That sentence.
Like, read a tweet. Read yeah.
a
article.
Single tweet. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Nightmare.
Incredible.
Now I think we know why no one's into his scripts, because they probably all have him with like 17-year-old ingenues.
Yeah.
100%.
Have you guys noticed, actually, I think it's true, like the worse the writer, the bigger the words get.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where they're just kind of like fill. It's, oh, I hate to do an improv reference, but here we go. It's like those improvisers who just keep talking and filling it with shit until they find a laugh because they just can't go. Yeah. I guess that happens in stand up too, where they're like, mm-hmm. wild, crazy story because there's no jokes.
Yeah. Exactly. I always say that when the elbows start getting real high, it just feels like people are just throwing weird, especially in improv, it always turns into like a 1940s skit. It feels like 100%. Once the 40s voice comes out, there's no
like
safe.
We're all doomed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, there's like, been like some synonym search and replace in the,
exactly,
in the word version.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you dropping the word quotidien? I don't know.
Quotidien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that French bakery?
Le Pen quotidien.
Le Pen quotidien.
You know what I hate about that place is the fucking communal table. Have you been in one?
Every communal table should be broken in half and made into firewood.
Knock it off. None of us want that.
I do not want, like, are you kidding me? What an uncomfortable experience. I can't.
Yeah, no. Isn't it so awkward when you're at a restaurant and the tables are too close together and, like, you cannot help but, like, overhear every word that
I will say, though, I was at the food court yesterday at the Glendale Galleria, and a gaggle of teens sat next to me. It was just the only place was open that was a long table, and I was there by myself, and they were discussing getting sushi for the very first time in their lives.
Cute.
Oh my God.
And overhearing them be like, well, which place will we go to? I think we can, let's go. It's Thanksgiving break. We're getting sushi.
Mall sushi at that moment.
No.
They were,
it was okay. a second location. But it was, they were meeting at the mall to then go find sushi. And it was very cute.
I mean, I'm down to eavesdrop on some teens. You're just like next to like, two people gossiping about someone I don't know. Look, if it was someone I knew, I'd be in.
I'm down to eavesdrop on anyone. Let me just put that out there. You want me to come and eavesdrop? Like, I'll be there. But I definitely go to dinner and I'm dropping hot goss with my guests. You know what I mean? I don't need people eavesdropping
on me.
On me.
That's how I feel. Yeah. I want the freedom to drop to bring tea, serve tea.
I do think it's an important moment in a relationship when you're at dinner and you guys both just stop talking to listen to somebody talking next to you, and then you make eye contact and be like, oh, we're both doing it, right?
That's true intimacy.
Yeah. That's a moment where it's like, we can just listen for a minute.
Okay, Chelsea, what is your least favorite word?
My least favorite word... you know what I just realized? My actually favorite word is bitch. I love that word. I love reclaiming it. I love just changing the narrative on it. It really brings me joy. I also love then flipping back and making it a bad word again, like calling some dude a bitch. And you're like, now bitch is bad again. But then when I'm a bitch, like now bitch is good again. Like mine, I like controlling. Yeah, it's mine.
Wish. Yeah, and just phonetically, it's a lot of fun to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very fun to say. A lot of plosives. Mm. And so my least favorite word, well, it can't be Adahinia now because I already plugged that one. What can my least favorite word be?
I'll say this is a hard one. I feel like I would.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not answering any of these questions we make people answer because I would freeze.
It's tough because I do have a book podcast and read a lot. So like this really should be my wheelhouse. I'm going to say my least favorite. I'm trying to think of books that had sentences in them where I was like, fuck off. Mm-hmm. And I think, can I give a least favorite sentence? My least favorite sentence is, my dad always smelled like, and then they describe their dad's like smell, like daddy's smell. Mm-hmm. So like maybe cologne's my least favorite word because it always means you're describing like what your dad smelled like when he hugged you. And then it reminds me I didn't have a dad. So I guess I just don't like that.
Also like, I have a dad, but I could not tell you what he fucking smells like. I don't know.
No.
Oh, my God.
Me neither.
Maybe, like, 50 books out of 100 will describe daddy's next smell. Like, dad always smelled like pine soap and lumber.
Yeah, it's like wood chips.
Yes. You're like, okay.
Feels very creative writing 101. Like, use other senses to describe, you know, scenes or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
It's like how kids always start stories, like, with the alarm clock going off in the morning.
Oh my God. Not to mention several new shows on TV. They're like, well, it was a dream. And you're like, we're still doing that? Like, you should be banned.
Truly. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good.
That's a good word.
All right. All right, Chelsea, what turns you on?
Ooh, I love when people are really interesting. Just like, you know, because I think it's sometimes people aren't bringing it. And when someone's like so interesting, that really turns me on. When someone's funny, that really turns me on. And what visually turns me on? I love a full back tattoo. My husband does have one. It's like, you know, neck to butt. And I fucking love it.
Is it one piece?
Yeah, what's the answer got?
It's one. It has a lot of different pieces on it in order to make up one giant piece. But that's kind of like old school filigree meets like some iconic like painting stuff.
Oh, cool.
I'll send you a hot pic.
He didn't get a photo everyone's face from your wedding as a full back tat.
And that's so rude. Isn't it so rude he didn't put just like my face? I mean, why are my tits not tattooed on his back? It's so rude.
Well, you guys are married. You have plenty of time now for that.
Plenty of time, but not enough space. A lot of space has been taken up by the ink, you know? Oh, man. Where am I going to get in?
I've been binging this podcast, Something Was Wrong. I don't know if you guys have heard that, but it's like about kind of about like abusive relationships, but it's about a lot of different shit. But there was this one story where this woman found out that I think her and three other women had all gotten the guy's name tattooed. I was just like,
painful.
Painful. No, no, no.
Yeah. Yikes.
Oof. That's when, like, I'm in the NXIVM cult, but for tattoos. Like, we all got branded.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's a fucking nightmare.
Do you remember the guy's name?
I don't think they usually don't use, like, their real name, so I can't remember what it was.
God, I hope it was, like, Ted. Like, you know, just something awful.
Something really
something
stupid.
You could turn into like Teddy Bear.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. A real wino forever situation.
I know. Fuck Johnny Depp forever, but that is a really funny tattoo fit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you guys know what I learned from Jennifer Grey's memoir, which, you know, Dirty Dancing. She was engaged to Johnny Depp. And they broke up, and 2 weeks later the next day he was with Winona Ryder. And then 2 weeks later he's engaged to Winona Ryder, but had like, within 1 month, was engaged to two women, and she had been engaged to Matthew Broderick and Johnny Depp in the same month. Whoa. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
Damn.
What a head-spinning time in Hollywood.
I know, where there's just like 20 of you, just 20 famous people, and you're just living it up.
I think Jennifer Aniston was talking about that recently. She was like, it used to be fun to be famous. Now nothing's fun anymore.
100%. She was like, there's no movie stars. There's no glamour to this anymore. And you're like, yeah, I bet it was good. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm sure when it being you in the 90s was very fun. Yeah.
It was pretty epic.
Also that part. I just remembered something else about this tattoo thing. I've said this before on the podcast, but one of my favorite things ever was a guy I dated, he had gotten his girlfriend's name tattooed on his wrist, Kelsey, but they broke up and he just got grammar written underneath it.
That's classic. Incredible.
Classic.
Yeah. Real good fix. I love it.
Okay, Chelsea, what turns you off?
What turns me off? Let me think. These are, you know, wow. The work James Lipton did. These are toughies. What turns me off? So many things.
Yeah, the list
just
is long.
So much. Chefs really, really hate them.
So what if a chef got a full back tattoo of a knife? How does that?
I mean, and they all have it for sure.
They already have that.
Yeah.
There's something so fucking weird about chefs. Actually, I mean, Yasser used to talk about this, so credit to him. But it's just like they've taken food and made it tough. It's disgusting. You know what I mean? Like, you are not a badass.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's one of those industries where, like, very similar to Hollywood, where men who were like considered geniuses were just allowed to like be total fucking pieces of shit and be abusive.
Yeah.
You know, yes. And they're like, it's he's an artist. And that's like very similar vibes.
Like, you're making waffles, sir.
Like, fucking calm down, dude. Yeah, it's also so, like, it's like if I were to, like, open up my kitchen, they'd be like, oh, what's your 10 Thanksgiving dishes that'll, like, wow your grandma? Like, I could never be like, I'm fucking baking, and this is my baking show. And, like,
it's true. Like,
you know?
You look at, like, the personality of, like, an Ina Garten versus, like, an Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah. And there's, like, wild. I don't like it. And actually, I don't like foodies in general. It really bothers me. And I think it's also because I genuinely, now that I've, like, gotten some money and I've gone to some restaurants, there's so many times where I'm like, I wish I was at Olive Garden. Like, this is not good. And you guys, all the rich people have been fucking lying and pretending it's fucking great to be there. And it's bad. It's bad. Like, I would, like, at, like, Taco Bell is, I would take Taco Bell over most restaurants.
Same. I am a garbage can inside, though.
So. I will say, do you watch Salt Lake, Real Housewives Salt Lake?
Absolutely. I lived in Utah for like 6 or 7 years.
Oh, really? Did you know Babs is from Utah, too?
What?
Yeah.
What part?
I'm Salt Lake.
Okay, so one, like, a slightly better part, but also, like, one of the most fucked up parts of the state. I mean, every part of the state is fucked up.
No,
unless you love it, in which case, sorry. St. George.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when I was there, it was the Mormon capital of the world at the time. So I was the only non-Mormon in my elementary school and middle school, which means what? I pretended to be Mormon. I'm a coward who wanted to be liked.
So how did you pretend, though? Because when they know, because you're, like, they all see each other fucking church.
Yeah, I went to church every Sunday.
Oh, you went?
Yeah, I went to the 3 hour.
Did your mom go with you?
Whoa.
Surely no. 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 I had a best friend who, she's the most Mormon name in the world, but she's so lovely, but I don't want to out her. But she and her 8 siblings, I kind of lived with them, and I went to their 3 hour LDS services, and I went to their youth groups. I went to Mormon summer camp. I just kind of, like, lived with their family. They were all blonde and blue eyed and, like, honestly, the hottest humans I've ever seen in my life.
Mormons are, like,
very
attractive.
Children
religion.
Of the corn, but also like they are good looking.
Yeah, but it's like somehow they managed, like, some sort of, like, I don't know how they did it, because it's like. Anyways, yeah, they look perfect, and I went to church with them for 6 years.
Did they ever try to, like, actually convert you?
Did what?
Did they ever try to, like, actually convert you, like, bring you in?
Yeah,
legit?
Yeah. I was definitely, like, on the precipice. There was one summer at Mormon camp where it got really intense. Summer, I guess I should say, it was probably like 2 weeks or a week. And then when I turned 13, I really started to feel this, like, oh, my friends are actually going to start getting paired up with the men they're going to marry at 16 and 17. Mm. And I really started to feel this, because as a teenager, I was like, oh, no one's going to date me, because they would find out I'm not Mormon, and, like, I'm not going to have a place, like, in high school here pretty soon. And that coincided with my mom getting divorced, and we, like, moved states, and we moved away, and, like, they really did all, and they're not polygamy. Sorry.
Yeah.
They're not polygamous, but they were married at 17.
Very
they
young,
were like with their 16, 17, 18, and they all have 8 children now. So
See, I had, like, an opposite experience where I grew up non-Mormon, but, like, since Salt Lake was probably the most, like, non-Mormon, you know, city in the state, I had a lot more non-Mormon friends, and, like, you know, we had our own, like, little bubble. So
yeah. No, I remember Salt Lake being, like, the heathen city.
Exactly.
Where, like, they have, like, poetry coffee shops, and we were like, whoa.
Yeah, there was
that's
coffee.
Crazy.
There was 3.2% beer available, not on Sundays, obviously, but
there was no alcohol, no coffee shops in St. George when I was there. No, you couldn't buy alcohol anywhere. I had some, like, bad Mormon friends who would drink Diet Coke, and it was like this, like, huge, like, oh my God, did you know Jeanette's family drinks Diet Coke? Like,
Mormon gossip. Wow.
I had a lot of Mormon people in my town too, and I, not to that degree, but, like, I had total crushes on Mormon boys, and we used to go to the steak dances on the weekends. I don't know if you were there as, like, a teenager, but, like, steak dances were, like,
it's called a steak is, like, the church that they go to, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. And you'd be, like, dancing with a boy, and someone would come up and shove a Book of Mormon between you and be like, leave room for the Holy Spirit. And that was like our jam on Saturday night. But I brought it up because I love how Lisa Barlow always eats fast food, was my point.
Oh, yes. Salt Lake City is just the best of the best. Although it is, like, in season one, we watched the downfall of a religion, you know? And so it's like season three, it's hard to follow up. Like, in season one, we always will have seen a cult and a religion unearthed.
Yeah, and then season two, we saw the best probably sting that's ever going to happen at a Botox studio.
Got my certificate. I bought a certificate to Beauty Lab and Laser that I got COVID, so I've got to go back and use it before.
Wait, is your family still in Salt Lake?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, Beauty Lab. Okay.
And my grandma lives in St. George, actually, so I'm there too. Which is like huge. It's grown like it's insane now.
It's grown so much, right? Yeah. And isn't it, I know it's not the Mormon capital anymore, but like, is it like a little liberal? Like, what's it like now?
I don't think it's liberal by any means, but you know, there you can get a coffee. You can get a coffee.
All right. They got coffee now. Yeah.
That's big.
Okay. Let's do one more before break. Okay. Chelsea, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Oh, would I like to attempt? That also kind of implies I need to have some sort of skill set.
That's funny. Like, we don't know if we're going to be successful at it.
Yeah. In this dream world. Yeah.
In a dream world, actually, I would. What would I love to attempt? God. I guess I'd love to be a sugar baby. Like, you know?
But just to attempt it.
That's amazing.
I want to attempt being a really successful one and one that doesn't give blowies or have sex. So I want to attempt, this is up to me, right? I want to attempt being in some situation where just, I guess, rent is paid for and I read books all day.
Financial domination.
Yeah, you want to be a femdom. You want to be a femdom. Yeah, femdom. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, femdom. I would also love to attempt to be in the financial markets in New York and just see what's up. Like, I'd love to fuck up the stock trade. You know, like, could I implode the stock market? I'd like to attempt that.
Have you guys watched the show Industry? On HBO, it's like about it's really good, but it's about like the stock market, and I do not know. It's like a good show, but I still have no idea what the fuck is happening as far as like the finances go most of the time.
Oh my god! For an episode of The Problem with Jon Stewart, we like deconstructed payment for order flow, which is like how Robinhood uses its stocks, and then the amount I had to learn even to come near writing a joke about. I was just like, God, I'm in college. I don't even know how to write a joke about this because it was so fucking hard to understand.
Yeah.
It was a lot of math.
Yeah. No, thank you.
That's the thing, like, really, I will say that about really rich people is they understand the math.
They like, really do.
You always hear about these schemes and they're like, they were betting against negative options just in case the lowercase fourth space. And you're like, I'm done. I checked out minutes ago.
Entitlement is like a language that if you teach it to children young, they will be successful. Like when I have a kid, like I don't want them to like learn French or Spanish. Like I want them to learn entitlement from rich people. And because there's just this way where they just know they're going to be okay. They know their financial decisions are solid. And it's like.
Right. You're like just taking away anxiety.
Yeah. Like, are you guys following? Have you seen this story about like this FTX story?
Oh, it's fucking insane.
I saw a few tweets about it. But.
Billions. Also, Tess, you are fully in the dark at this point.
I know, because I had to choose between my ring light and my computer, and I chose my computer.
Yeah, Tess is, I get it. Tess is fully looks like an anonymous source a TV show.
What are they talking about?
Tell us about FTX. Of like an HBO
documentary. So, basically, I got into the scheme thinking it'd be easy money.
But, no, basically, like, I mean, I forget how many billions, but I want to say it's like $15, $16 billion are fucking missing because these, like, 20-year-old kids were jacked up on Adderall. Mm-hmm. All this money that people put in what they thought was crypto, these kids were taking that money and making just insane, reckless, like Michael Douglas in Wall Street, crazy ass gambles with it. And now there's like $20 billion missing because these kids were on Adderall.
Just gone.
missing. That's just was.
It's so funny though because like that you're like because it's crypto and it seems like that also is the stock market. Yeah. Like you put I put blank money into stocks. It's like no, you didn't. Like some fucking dude at a trade center has like taken your money to go like like, I don't know, get Jeffrey Epstein to live again in like, yeah, in, yeah. A, in like a Cairo chamber. And like, you will never know about it because that money is never even coming back to you till you try and withdraw it from the stock market. Like, they do crazy shit with that money.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. I will say on the sugar daddy tip, just a side note, if you have if you have a pet, I feel like I am a sugar daddy to my pets.
Yeah.
I just pay them for like affection and love.
You know? I love that. Oh, maybe I want to be like a cat rescuer. We had a stray cat that I really put a lot of time and effort into trying to rescue and failed. And I'd love to attempt that again, but professionally.
Hell yeah. Love
okay,
it.
Okay, we're going to take another break. We'll be back in a second.
BRB.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And I'm Chelsea.
And we're going to do Lady Problems. Call us at 323-6-BUT-30 if you've got a lady problem, or email it to us at ladiesladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems.
Hi, ladies. I've been listening for a while now, and I've been hemming and hawing about calling. But I guess my lady problem is just I am almost 33 years old. I've never been in a relationship. Typically, I've been fine with it, but now one of my very good friends is pregnant. And now I think I suddenly feel this urge that, you know, I want to find the one I want. I've always wanted kids, but it's just proving to be more and more difficult. And a part of me wants to know what's wrong with me. I've been on dating apps for years. I've gone on a few dates here and there. My entire life, I've always just been just friends. And it sucks. And truly, almost being 33, I mean, what's wrong with me? I don't know what else to do anymore, and I'm scared I'm going to end up alone, and that's the last thing I want. Sorry, I don't mean to be almost crying, but if you can help, or just maybe to hear someone's opinion on it who doesn't know me, know anything about me, maybe that'll help. Thanks. Love you, ladies.
Oh.
Oh, well, can I just start and say nothing is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just, I mean, there might be, like, things you can do in dating, but there's nothing inherently wrong with you. You can even tell just by, like, how thoughtful and sweet your message was.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah, I mean, we have proof that if you listen to our podcast, you're wonderful. So, yes. Well, you're starting off at a good point.
Yeah.
This sometimes helps me in my career. Sorry to jump in on this one, but this sometimes helps me in my career, especially when I'm feeling like really low and like a failure. I think of all the pieces of shit who are successful, very untalented people, extremely successful and doing great, and maybe even bad humans. And I think to myself, like, oh, then there is nothing wrong with me. And I think that applies to dating too. Like, think of all the assholes happily in love, you know? And so you don't even have to be a good or bad person to be in a relationship and be dating. So, and that to me often takes the relief off of like the onus on my life. Like, there's always like actionable things you can do, but like, there's no one that has something more than you, and often people have something less than you. So there's a path forward. Is that really dark, you guys?
No, I love that.
So true.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I started comedy, because I went to enough open mics where I was like, all right, this guy sucks. I can do this.
Yeah, and assholes being, like, married to assholes. Get out of here, please. Find each other.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it is very similar to working in the entertainment industry, which is like, it can be one thing to intellectually understand that, but another thing to like truly not let someone else's reaction towards you or someone else's opinion towards you become your own opinion about yourself. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very hard thing to parse out. Yeah. And and I know, oh God, it's so hard when you're lonely, and like nothing anyone says rings true for you because it's not happening in your life. Like, people can tell you a million and a half times, like, you're going to meet someone. It's all about, you just got to be patient. You just got to hang in there. And you're like, yeah, I'm fucking 32. I have been patient. This means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, nothing is wrong with you. It's just, you just haven't, I feel like anything I say to you is going to sound like it's going to ring false, but you just haven't met the right person. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. What, you're an awesome, amazing fucking person. And like right now, your friends and the other people in your life get to have all of that. And like, you get to do with yourself, like, only what you want to do. So like, there's that right now. And like, you're going to encounter that person. You are. Like,
yeah,
I do think you will. It sucks.
If you're open to it too. I mean, it sounds like you've been very happy. And then this friend, you know, the changes in their lives have made you be like, oh fuck, but I don't have that. I'm supposed to have that right now too. So it's like, has this like always kind of been a priority? Is this something that's kind of been bothering you a lot more lately too, is my question. Cause I think it's like, if you were open to really being out there, that's different than just like kind of passively like, oh yeah, if something will happen, if it happens or not too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm not going to say this is healthy advice. This is going to come from my own mental health issues, but in every area of my life, I've always found something to be true, which is that like, if you work hard enough, change is always possible. And like with dating, there's like, without knowing more about you, but like, there's just so many things. It's like, are the people you're choosing unhealthy or bad for you? Like, that's something to figure out in therapy. Is like, is there's actual, like, you know, my friends have handed me their dating profiles and I'm like, okay, you would not swipe yes on you. What's on this profile? You know, you can like change your profile. There's just so many things of like, oh, is your community not being supportive of you? Is it actually something about like your friends, your hobbies, your interests? Like, is it, I always think of those like horrible Neil Strauss books. It was like, after the game, he wrote some others. It was just books telling boys like, clip your nose hair and definitely shower and like ask her questions about herself. And like, I met a guy who was like, this book changed my life because no one had ever taught him. Like, you should smell good.
It's true,
and
though.
You should listen, you know? And it's like, there's always like advice and tips that can like make your relationship better, even when you're like already in one or even when you're single. And if you're willing to just like pedal to the metal, I would be willing to bet that like something can budge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because also like, how often are you meeting other single people? Like, are you going out on a lot of Tinder dates? But like, if all your friends are coupled up and having kids and stuff, like, what is the pool you're dealing with here? Like, maybe you do need to expand the amount of exposure that you're having to other single people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Even if just to expand your social circle. So you see, even if it's not to meet somebody, but you're just around people who aren't making you feel shitty because you're not like at the same point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And kind of like Tess says, like, nothing makes you feel better when you're dating and you like, don't fucking want to be. But the one thing that like really helped me when I was like, I guess I don't know what's going to happen for me, but I do have to live my life. And I said yes to like every fucking date in a very safe way. I would like meet them at this one bar. I would never have dinner with them. It's a trap. Meet them at a bar. And it was always like standing room. And I would always have money on me so that if I ever needed to just like put a 20 down and just slip out the door, like I could. But even getting that energy going around in my life of like, I'm getting dressed up, I'm going out, I'm having conversations. Mm-hmm. A lot of bad ones. that helped me too.
It takes work. I mean, it's like, you know, if you, like, I have a joke about it, but yeah, people are like, it's going to happen when you least expect it. Like, that's the shit you don't want to fucking hear because it's not true. Sometimes it's true, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, from my personal experience, that was not true. I was very actively putting myself out there and really, you know, trying to find someone. And it took work and it's a lot of energy and it's like exhausting, you know, and it is like being lonely is like one of the fucking worst things in the world. So I think like it's about making those active choices to, A, if that's what you want, putting energy towards it. But also, like we said, like cultivating your own life that in a way that you love and that will build your confidence for yourself and, you know, give yourself like give yourself
grace.
Things to be to yes. look forward yeah. to that aren't yeah well
and the more yeah, confident grace. The more confident and in love with yourself you are too, the easier I think it will be to stop things that are not good for you as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, can I just say, 33, you are young. And I realize you're saying this in the context of having a baby, but wow, science be out here fucking some shit up. Like, you have
you're good.
Years on you, and like, 33 is young. And I always love that J-Lo meme of like J-Lo at 50. It's like, look.
I think about J-Lo at 50 all the time.
All the time. And like, it's just like our preconceived notions of like what 50 means are not true. Sorry, what 50, what 30, these markers in life are like all wrong. And like, don't put that burden on yourself.
No. And I mean, if you have the means and maybe it'll relieve some of that anxiety, I don't know, maybe do talk to a doctor about like freezing your eggs or doing something like that. Like if you know you for sure want kids and maybe the biological timetable of that is stressing you out, fuck it. Like, why not just talk to your doctor about that so that you can take that sort of anxiety at least off of your plate or name it or give it a little bit more of an objective timeline so that maybe you know what your options are, or just sort of like what you want the next, you know, 10, 20 years of your life to look like.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're wonderful. You sound wonderful.
You're fucking awesome. Like, your only job right now is just to like work on your confidence, really, I think. Like,
I agree.
Yeah. Also, you really do sound wonderful. Like, that message, I was like, oh, I love her. So you're going to find your person.
Yes, I agree.
All right, let's do one more.
Hey, ladies. I've called in a couple times, and just a quick update on your advice. Moved to New York, made new friends, eloped, got married, loved it. Your advice to help me find friends in a different state, like New York, because I moved from a small South Carolina town, has really helped. I've joined a couple classes, you know, done some workout stuff. It's been amazing. Okay, not calling because of that, but I do want to say thank you. Calling because now I have I don't think I can say this on the radio. Maybe I should type this in. I'm scared they're going to know my voice, but have a father-in-law who thinks he can control my husband and I to the point where, you know, he'll ask my husband to go and to do something and, you know, we'll say, well, we don't have the money, you know, it's not really in our, you know, realm of possibility right now. And then a minute later, he'll get a text that says, just do it, from his father. And I don't like to be controlled. I push back when men try to control me. I'm not about that. I've been controlled in the past and, you know, I'm not going to let it happen again. So what's your advice in a healthy conversation of getting out from under that control and giving me being able to give my husband validation that he is his own man now and can break away from his father? Thank you, girls. I appreciate all that you do. Bye.
Well, first of all, thank you for, you know, updating us and congrats on moving to fucking New York and like making it happen. That's awesome.
Yeah. Seriously. Sounds like you've been knocking it out of the park. Yeah. in all categories. Wow. Fuck your father-in-law. Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah. I feel like this is such a common problem with like just, I think especially guys like not being able to extract themselves from like their parents, you know, control or whatever it is, opinion. I mean, yeah, you really gotta, I think, just incur, he's gotta stand up for himself and both of you. Like, you've gotta just tell him, like, look, next time this happens, like, you're putting your foot down and I'm not gonna have it any other way. And you have to create boundaries with the father-in-law. Like, you just have to.
Yeah. I also feel like it's one of those things where extracting yourself from your parental bullshit is a huge, huge undertaking, and maybe even more than dealing with specific father-in-law situations, getting your husband to a place where he can just work on his own self-growth with himself and what his childhood was like, because that it's just going to have to come from within, and it takes so much work. But like, you have to want to make a boundary with your parent, which I think is one of the hardest things in the world. And supporting him in like his own processes more than supporting him in like, say this to your father-in-law, and then holding your own boundaries as he does that work. So if he's not ready to make those boundaries, like working on your own boundaries, like, hey, if you're going to say yes to this, but I'm actually going to say no, and like protecting yourself so that he has the space to make the right decision too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's definitely some empathy for like, if that's the way this guy, that's the man that raised him. So it's like, there's a lot to untangle around a person that is like that demanding and has, you know,
has so much disregard for his child, you know? So,
well, and I think if you do find yourself in a position where you do need to draw that boundary because your husband isn't, then I think it's also worth articulating. Like, I just want to point out, like, you are making a decision that is now harming this part of your family because mm-hmm. you're choosing not to create a boundary in this other part of your family. So, like, you're an adult, that is your decision. But, like, I just want to be really clear that that is the choice you're making. Mm-hmm. Like, because you're married to him. I don't know. Like, I think that always should, like, supersede everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, when you get married, like, that's your unit. Like, that, I don't know. I think a spouse needs to recognize that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you need to make an ultimatum with him, but I do think that you should articulate, like, if he puts you in a position where you've got to make a decision like that, I would be honest about why you're making that decision and how it makes you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. on the like fun/petty end, I would start pulling out last second, whatever the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
I would no show.
No call, no show?
No call, no show. Don't make up the most ridiculous, insane excuses to not be there. You know, and just start
that
being
can
like,
be fun.
Oh my God, like we found, you'll never believe what happened. We found like a pet skunk on the road and now we've got to get it taken care of. I mean, just like
be an asshole sorry.
And make up some like really weird excuses as to why you can't do this thing. Just kind of lean into, lying about shit if you need to because fuck it.
Yeah, he's not respecting you guys, so don't respect him.
I don't know. Like, he's asking you guys to do all this expensive shit. It's like, all right, then you're paying for it. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, what's the budget?
That's a very easy boundary, I think, to draw. It's like, we can't afford that.
Yeah.
Well, but also I would be nervous of, like, because then if he feels like any time he pays for it, you're going to owe going to it, you know?
So yeah.
You still have to, like, establish that, like, we're not just going to do this sometime.
I would say at least for the time being, do not take anything from him. Because then he will feel like he has power over you too.
Oof.
Like if he offers anything, it feels like it would probably be manipulative to guilt your husband and you even more. So
yeah, like gifts and stuff.
Yeah. If there's a way to be like like money or like, you know, anything big, like if there's a way to be like, we're okay, thank you though. Just to be like, no, you don't owe us anything and we do not owe you anything either. Like, because that's the relationship that it feels like he's trying to establish.
Saying all this stuff is like, you know... So easy to say, but I think Chelsea's a good point where it's like at the end of the day, it's probably going to be the most helpful if your husband kind of like starts working on figuring out with their relationship and kind of digging into his childhood and maybe like figure out how to set those boundaries himself, because until he can like actually stand up to his dad in a meaningful way, it's not going to do much.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm just thinking about. It's so hard with your parents.
It's so hard. Because
you were also, I don't want to say groomed, you were parented, you know, into certain modalities that to break out of, I don't know how old your husband is, but to break out of 30 years of training with the human that bore you.
Yeah.
Tough stuff.
And it's like a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
It's all of our lifetime thing.
I'm even now, like, you know, even though I love my father and I appreciate him so much. I have been discovering lately in therapy that like, oh, the reason that I don't feel comfortable asserting myself many times in my like beliefs politically and in other ways is because he gaslit me all the time when I would speak up about that growing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like, I'm like, oh, that's still affecting me, even though it's like, I don't live with this man anymore. It's been, you know, 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Well, and like parent stuff, I think because it affects you sometimes when you're such a young kid, like you don't even know sometimes why that's happening, because it's not like you have this certain specific memory of, oh, when I was 7, I got gaslit. You're just like, oh, that's just reality.
That's just what it is.
Yeah. Also, like your brain learns to understand. You're just like, oh, this is love. This is compromise. These are whatever. And then you're 10 years into therapy and they're like, that's gaslighting. What you call love, gaslighting. You're like, what? You know, like, it's like, relearn.
That's how I was trained.
Yeah. Well, and in-laws are so tough too, because it is like, someone's parents are so important to them. And like, that is your in-laws and that is part of your family, but it's like also not your parent. Like, you can be a bitch to your own parent.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a
certain, can't. There's like a certain level of
of you're never going to be that close to them. You can't ever be like 1,000% honest with them.
Yeah.
Well, and they also, they treat, no matter what, like your parent will treat you like a kid at some point or another. But then, hey, I'm an adult married to another adult who has never been treated like a child by you. So you're treating another adult like a child. And it's like, that's not... That's not going to work, though.
No, we have a witness now. Things are different.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think with like, it, you know, if this is the way this guy's father is, it's like he was, your husband was like trained in his household to be, to come second. You know, if he's just like being told, no, you do this for me, you do this for me. It's like, you know, so there's a lot that he really needs to work on for himself, for sure, to get out of that. And I'm sorry. That's fucked. Maybe, yeah,
really tough.
Maybe some black ice in the steps. Parody, kidding.
some Home Alone.
Yeah, some Home Alone
passive aggressive Christmas gift of a therapy book for his dad.
Ooh, yeah, that's how I ended up meeting Betsy Johnson, is because I slipped on black ice.
Really?
Yeah, I was in New York and I was staying with our friend Zoe and I slipped on some black ice outside of her building and I clocked my head really fucking hard on the concrete and I got a black eye and I tweeted a picture of it and I was like, hey, Betsy Johnson, can you start making helmets? And she DM'd me and
That's so awesome.
That's awesome.
I love that. Oh my God, that's amazing.
To bring it back to me, thank you. One of my wedding looks was Betsy. I was like Betsy Johnson bride.
Yes.
It's just a little trashy, but like also high glam, a little too much jewelry and some heavy eye makeup.
Yeah. A little juvenile, a little tacky, but like,
But a lot of fun.
Yeah. A lot of lace, a lot of petticoats.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love the passive aggressive book move.
Yeah. Yeah. As personally. A gift. You don't like my gift? Why?
Yeah. Well, I think it's also just important to remember that, like, as the kid, we've said this before in the show, but like, as the kid, your husband does ultimately have the power in the relationship because he can remove himself. And like, your father could maybe never admit that, but like, if you guys don't go to him, he's alone. You always will have each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
ooh, that's ice cold.
Just saying. I'm a quarter Sicilian. It comes out sometimes.
You got it. Yeah. You got to throw fists when you got to throw fists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Good luck. And we hope our advice goes well again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hope it helps. Let us know how it goes.
Chelsea, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. You guys are just the best, and I'm thrilled you had me.
Let everyone know where they can find you online, where they can find your podcast, all that fun stuff.
Would love to. Celebrity Book Club with Chelsea Devantes. We have a whole backlog of books. Oh, I mean, Babs and Tess came on and did one of my favorite episodes ever, where we really dissected Jamie Lynn Spears' book in
book, quote unquote,
book in quotes. Come listen if you like that. It's podcasts. It's just wherever you get your podcasts. And I'm at Chelsea Devantes on Instagram. And sometimes I post recaps of the books before we record. So if you want to be part of a little digital book club, I'll post quotes and stuff. And that's there.
It's lovely. Even if I haven't read the book or anything, I have a very fun, time.
And our Jamie Lynn Spears, that book, nothing has ever made less sense than that book we read with you. Like that,
so bad. So bad.
Lord.
In such a great way. Like, what an incredible read, because it was so insane.
I mean, like, when you were to say least favorite sentences, I believe that her saying, everyone said I was equally as talented as Britney Spears.
As a singer.
She's multiple times said this in the book, how everyone said they were equally talented.
Yeah, Britney had a throatier voice, but mine was higher and lovelier. You're like, what? No one said this.
No, bitch, no.
Oh, it is such trash. But it was very fun to have a reason to read.
Yes. Trash, literally. Didn't even put it in the little tiny library. Chelsea, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. All right.
See you guys next week.
Bye,
bye, everybody.
Bye.
3, 2, 3, 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi. Okay, so a few weeks ago, I think, you guys asked the question, like, while you're binging Lady to Lady, I wonder what you could do while binging all the episodes. And while listening to that, I was binging. I'm a new listener, and I was painting a mural. So I probably spent 150 hours on this mural. So to answer your question, what can you get done while binging Lady to Lady? Paint a mural on the side of a parking garage. So I just wanted to let you guys know it really helped me get through it. It was hard work. It tore up my body. But, yeah. Love you guys. Bye.
So I just wanted to call in on my way to work. I just want to say you guys are awesome. I've been listening to you for since 2015. I love you guys. You're awesome. I like to sing your theme song and different voices and accents. But yeah, that's all. I just wanted to call you guys and tell you, you are amazing. I love each and every one of you differently. And you guys just make my day. If I'm ever having a tough day, you guys definitely make it better. So I love you guys and congratulations to 10 years. I know it's a little late.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.